Hi, and welcome to another one of our podcasts. Today we are focused on the 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time for 2019, which means we're up to the 16th week of Ordinary Time. Before we dive into the readings, let us pray first. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, you instructed the hearts of the faithful. By the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. The first reading is a reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the tenebreth of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent. While the day was growing hot, looking up, Abraham saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them. And bowing to the ground, he said, "Sir, if I may ask you this favor, please do not go on past your servant. Let some water be brought, that you may bathe your feet, and then rest yourselves under the tree. Now that you have come this close to your servant, let me bring you a little food, that you may refresh yourselves, and afterward you may go on your way." The men said, "Very well, do as you have said." Abram hastened to the tent and told Sarah, "Quick, there are three measures of flour. Knead it and make rolls." He ran to the herd, picked out a tender, choice steer, gave it to a servant, who quickly prepared it. Then Abram got curds and milk, as well as the steer that had been prepared, and set these before the three men, and he waited on them until under the tree while they ate. They asked Abram, "Where is your wife Sarah?" He replied, "They're in a tent." One of them said, "Surely I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." The word of the Lord. He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. One who walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue. He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Who harms not his fellow man, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised, while he honors those who fear the Lord. He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Who lends not his money at usury, and accepts no bribe against the innocent, one who does these things shall never be disturbed. He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. The second reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am also a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship given to me, to bring to completion for you the word of God, the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past. But now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed are they who have kept the word with a generous heart, and he healed a harvest through perseverance. Alleluia. Alleluia. The gospel is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman, whose name was Martha, welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things, There is need for only one thing. Mary has chosen the better half, and it will not be taken from her. The Gospel of the Lord. So here we have this week some very interesting perspectives on hospitality. We see that hospitality is something that's supposed to be a task that every one of us is concerned with. In fact, if you'll remember, another place of the Gospel, it talks about the sheep and the goats, and you get your understanding of the corporal works of mercy from feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, and taking care of others, because those who are considered least are how you show how you really truly care about God and Himself. And it's one of those things that comes about. We see that in extending hospitality to people whom we don't know, even if they are strangers, it can enter into an area where we can feel awkward, and maybe we can feel a little out of place because these strangers arrive unannounced, much like the three men that just showed up at Abraham's doorstep that day. That day that Abraham was just sitting there, because it says, you know, he was underneath the tree at the entrance of his tent, and he looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. I mean, that must have been a shock right there. Whoa, wait a minute, where'd they come from? But what happened is he was more concerned with showing them hospitality than anything else. How many of us would go through as much trouble as Abraham did in welcoming these mere strangers? We see this as he runs out there and he's doing everything he needs to. He's like, hey, let me get some water. Let me get you bathed. Let me rest under this tree. Let me get you some food and stuff to refresh yourself. He's telling Sarah to get busy, you know, bake some bread. And then he has a calf killed and cooked so that it can be prepared to be eaten by these guys. And he waits at their hand, waits on them hand and foot. And in the Gospel, we see Martha is concerned about hospitality as well. But she complains about it because her sister Mary seemed not to care. She wasn't really looking out for her fellow man. She was just sitting there listening to Jesus speak. So in both the first reading and the Gospel, we see an emphasis on the importance of hospitality. But both point to a more important issue. An issue that goes beyond just the external how we take care of somebody else. Because it points us, as we look in the first reading, when speaking of Sarah, they predicted the birth of Isaac and said within a year he'll be born. And this Isaac was the promised child that God had made to Abraham, who would truly be his descendant. And it was through the strangers of God, through these strangers, that God was able to present to Abraham and Sarah the good news that he was going to raise up an heir out of Abraham's bosom, out of his progeny. Because of their openness and how they treated strangers, they revealed God's presence in their lives and opened the way for a greater blessing, a blessing that makes them able to bless all people. And that's kind of the point of what was being drawn out of this hospitality experience that Abraham was going on. And as we know, he's doing all these things, hastening, running around, making sure that the best steers picked out of the herb and given to the servant who prepares it. He even gets like some curds and some milk. He's basically bringing him milk and butter, basically. Here he comes. Here's your milk, here's your butter your bread that we're fixing for you with these little rolls. And here's your beef, you know, eat it up, enjoy it. And as he was taking care of them, they were like, okay, here's the blessing. The blessing is because you have been a blessing to the nations in this way, God is going to bless you with a seed, and that seed is going to be even more of a blessing to everybody else. So that's really what we see in the first. Now, as we turn to the Gospel reading, we see Martha complaining about Mary not helping with any of the hospitality chores that she is doing. And she wants Jesus to say something about it.
Most likely she knew what had happened in Abraham's story, knew that it was a well-known thing in Jewish community about showing charity towards others and really caring for them and showing hospitality to them. Because Martha was busy with all the things that were about making people feel welcome. So she was doing everything she could to make Jesus feel welcome in his in her midst. And she wants Jesus to rebuke her sister for not helping, because she's not really, in her mind's eye, being busy about the things that make it happen. And this is where we get into a big problem when it comes to making a religion out of a relationship with God, doing the externals without having the internal. And that's what Jesus wants to point to, because he doesn't address what Martha believes to be the problem and the issue. He goes really to the heart of the matter and points out to her that she's the one that's more emptier than Martha. Because while Martha was anxious and worried, Jesus points out to Martha that Mary wasn't. She was relaxed. She was at peace. She was just listening to Jesus. To welcome, to be present, and to keep one's life focused on the Lord is all you really need to do to know the presence of God in your life. It's about knowing what it's all about. I mean, we get into issues, and I remember this as I'm thinking back on different conversations I've had with different people. We're trying to do the things, the external things, that should help them without even being attentive to their internals. We want to do the things that, to take a phrase that I really hate, be pastoral, without really knowing the person. There's a real need to listen to people, to really hear them, not just give them answers or try to help them out, but to really give them the love of God in Christ Jesus that each one of us knows. To truly be there when they're going through difficult moments. I remember during my interview with Bishop Braxton, when I was being considered to be a seminarian for the Diocese of Belleville, he asked me a question. And the question was simply this: if some husband had lost his wife, had some kids, and he lost her when she was in her 30s because she had cancer, how would you respond to that situation? Well, instantaneously, without thinking, I thought of the theological thing about how all things work together for good for those that do it, and that there's a purpose in it all. And he basically said, no, that's not the right answer here, because people need more. He never explained what it was, but when I went off to seminary, I kept it in the back of my mind, and I realized what people need more is to be heard. The guy that just lost his wife at the age of, say, 33, he's not worried about why God did it in the ultimate. His main concern is, who's going to help me raise these kids? Think about all those women who've lost loved ones to foreign wars or to police, who are police spouses, who've lost their loved ones because they died in the line of duty. But they got little babies at home. I'm thinking about the officer that died on Christmas not too long ago in Colorado, and his wife had just given birth to his newborn son, a son that was not even a year old at the time. And in one interview, somebody asked her how she felt, and she goes, I don't know how to feel, because I don't know how I'm going to raise a child all by myself now. And drives home the reality that the better way is not so much just doing things, but sometimes it's just listening, being there. Because even Abram, when he was taking care of these men, he was waiting on them hand and foot. He was listening to what they were saying. He entertained their conversation about Sarah. He didn't say, it's none of your business where my wife is. He's like, oh, she's in the tent. You know, she's over there taking care of her own business, doing the things that need to be happening. But that's what it is, to be welcome, to be present, to keep one's life focused on the Lord, is the only real way to come to know the presence of God in all things in your life. That's what the examine prayer is all about, getting you a chance to just sit down, be quiet, and think over your past 24-hour days. Was there times when maybe you should have gotten into a car accident, but because the Lord was watching out for you, the other guy just stopped before he hit you? There's an act right there. Or maybe it's just you finally had the money to be able to pay a bill, or you thought you weren't going to be able to pay a bill on time and you had the money to do it. I mean, these are the things that are God's fingers in our lives, showing us who we are and how we move. So we need to remember this and to remain in the presence of the Lord, because there is the promise of new life, the new life that he had given Abraham and Sarah. And it was the new life that Mary was getting that Martha wasn't, because that's the whole thing. The gospel says that Mary had chosen a much better way, to be present and to listen to the Lord. How often do we invite Jesus into our own daily lives, let him into our basic homes, and speak to him about our concerns, hopes, anxieties, worries, joys, and everything? And then listen to him. Give him a chance to speak to your heart, to just meditate and contemplate his greatness so that he can truly respond to us. Because that's what we need. We need to be heard just as much as the man who loses his wife. Because that's what it is. Paul said to the Colossians that he was a minister of the church by a commission of God to preach the word of in all of its fullness, to have a full gospel ministry, if you will. It is a mystery hidden from the very beginning of time and is now only truly being made known. And God has willed the knowledge of all of his glory to be made known among you who were Gentiles in the natural sense. And it is to you that you have the mystery of Christ, a Christ that you can proclaim and admonish all so that they can become complete in Christ. But how do we preach this message? By not being worried about the things and being people who are really concerned with the well-being of others. We bring about the joy of Christ in what is lacking, which is our personal participation in the cross. This verse here from 1 Corinthians, from Colossians chapter 1, talk about how we fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. Well, what's lacking in Christ's body is simply your participation, your being crucified with Christ, your living in a way that does not harm your fellow man, that does not take up any kind of evil reproach against the neighbor. Someone who doesn't lend money in order to gain interest back. A lot of times we give what we need to others and being hospitable in our ministries in a way that we give food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, but we're expecting something out of it. Think of how many times you've given, say, $10 to a homeless person, only to wonder as you're driving away or walking away from that person if they're going to use that money wisely. You're lending the money, you're not giving it. That's the problem here. You're like Martha. You're busy with all the details and getting anxious and worked up. She was all concerned about being left alone and needing help. And Jesus just basically said, hey, stop being anxious and upset about so many things. Concentrate on me. Love me. Serve me. Do unto others, because that other
is Christ to you? We get too busy trying to make conditions for our love to others instead of just giving it. That was the better portion that Mary had, that Martha didn't. That was the portion she wasn't to be deprived of. It wasn't that she shouldn't have been out there helping her sister, but it was a simple fact that the better thing wasn't so much her helping her sister as it was receiving from the presence of the Lord everything that God gives each one of us to truly live in the presence of the Lord. Because that is what's lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, is you being crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Yet it is not you, but Christ who lives in you. Are you living the love of God for others? Are you taking care of your neighbor, doing unto the least, those you would despise because they might use it incorrectly? Are you truly loving and being loved of the Lord? Because if you truly do give, you will receive from the Lord greater blessings just because you know him. And it's because you know him and that you see him in those moments that you truly are blessed yourself.